more ideas, different points of view, in-depth discussion, and thoughtful analysis. Welcome to Inside the County Board on News Talk 1130 WISN, your exclusive look inside Milwaukee County government. Here's your host, Harold Mester.
And good evening, Milwaukee County. We hope you enjoy the July edition of our program. We have a lot of stimulating topics tonight, including a frank discussion of county employee benefits. We'll talk about the impact of the state budget that would be affecting Milwaukee County, and we'll spend some time in the parks and hear more about the many fun things to do this summer. We begin with the County Board Roundtable, Supervisors Theodore Lipscomb and Joe Sanfilippo in the studio tonight. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So we're here to talk about benefits for Milwaukee County employees, and Supervisor Sanfilippo is chairman of the County Board's Personnel Committee. You're one of the key players that is looking into ways to reform the way we compensate employees and provide benefits. So I want to start with a general question that both of you can answer, and then we'll get into some more specific changes. There's a perception out there that county employees get Cadillac benefits and are receiving way more than their private sector counterparts. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think when you talk about issues like that, they're kind of relative terms, but on the average, I think the benefits that the county workers get are very, very good benefits. And when you look at what's offered in the private sector today, especially in light of the way costs have gone up recently, I think that they are getting more than what they would get in the private sector. I mean, as a person who's been an employer or is an employer in private life and provides benefits to employees, I can tell you firsthand with experience that yes. Now, that's not a fault of the employee because, you know, past governments have been willing to give up these benefits, and in the past they were more affordable. But in today's day and age, they are getting to be quite costly.
Supervisor Lipscomb.
I think overall I'd say it's an outdated perception. I think historically the benefits probably were far out ahead of private sector benefits, but that's much of that's been reined in, and I think the trend is that some of what's still out there is being reined in. And there are other areas where I don't think that we're even equivalent to the private sector in terms of we haven't particularly modernized our pension system. I mean, we don't have sort of an incentive based system where the employer is matching, and obviously we're moving towards that, obviously, of a shared system on pension. But there are a lot of areas where I think the private sector has led and lately, whereas it used to be that private sector benefits really were the benchmark.
Earlier this year, it came to light that there was a county employee who had retired nearly a decade earlier, came back to Milwaukee County, received $52,000 for a little more than 1 month's work. And it appears he qualified for vacation and sick leave payouts in addition to his pay for time actually worked. Now, this was a rare case where one employee benefited from a loophole in the system. And Supervisor Lipscomb, I know that you and others are trying to tighten up the rules. Supervisor Sanfilippo, you were outspoken on the importance of closing loopholes in the system. Now, Supervisor Lipscomb, you have been working through the Personnel Committee, particularly as it relates to sick time accrual. Mm-hmm. Will that be reformed?
I sure hope so. We had a small setback here in June with a delay on taking up the matter. But I think, rather than simply talking about the one individual, that individual case brought to light some serious loopholes that need to be closed. But it goes beyond just that individual case. And so we need to make sure that we're getting our house in order in terms of what are, in effect, long-term liabilities that are accruing in terms of accumulated sick time for thousands of employees. And you don't see that on your books for the budget year to come, but you're going to pay these out at some point in time. And so we have to get those under control.
And you've been pushing to cap the amount of sick hours that can be accrued.
Right. The County Executive Abley had proposed a 240-hour cap, which is effectively a six-week cap. I think that's quite generous. There's some interest from members that we would perhaps study a short-term disability policy that we would potentially create, and that would be imposed, that the cap would be imposed in connection with that. I think that while we should certainly study short-term disability, I don't think that it that has to be in part. I don't think that they have to be passed together. I think 6 weeks is quite a generous benefit. I'm not aware of anywhere else where you carry over sick time to that extent.
And the county executive proposed, and I believe that's now in effect through executive order, limiting vacation carryover from 1 year to another, which was the case of the employee mentioned earlier, to 7 days you can carry over. Supervisor Sanfilippo, are there other reforms we need to do in light of this?
Well, yeah, I think in this individual case, for example, we have to take a look and limit the amount of time that these benefits can be carried over. You know, in that case, you had an individual that had left the county 20 years ago, and you walk back in, and it's as if you never left. You still have your same seniority as far as sick pay, vacation time. You pick up right where you left off. And so I'd like to see a limit put on that so that you can't do that if you leave. I mean, you literally could have somebody that comes to work for the county right out of high school, works there for 8 or 10 years while they're in college and graduate school, leaves and does an entire career somewhere else, come back to the county and pick up as if they had never been gone. And so things like that have to be changed. With pension, I'd like to take a look at being able to do something with pension as far as if you have employees that, you know, have serious misconduct charges that are leveled against them. We had a case that was in the news a month or so ago about somebody from the mental health hospital who took retirement right away to avoid going through the personnel review board on a conduct issue, and then he walks away with his full pension. And I think that, you know, issues like that have to be looked at.
I want to give some background relating to the pension. Nearly a decade ago, 7 county supervisors were recalled from office after voting for employee pension enhancements that the public felt were too generous. The plan established a backdrop payment for employees who work beyond their normal retirement age, so they could choose to either take the backdrop and still receive a monthly county pension if they go that route, but at a smaller amount. Now, some employees, particularly those with higher salaries, and if they worked for many years beyond their normal retirement age, had backdrop payments reaching 6 or even 7 figures. Now, these benefits have since been eliminated for new hires after this came to light, but Supervisor Lipscomb, you've been exploring some other ways to try to cap the accrual of this benefit for current employees.
I introduced a budget amendment last year, and thankfully it passed. I think it passed unanimously by the board in the budget last year that we would study this issue. And the idea being that if you would cap the accrual of time towards the formula of the backdrop, you could effectively limit this. So it's not, at least at this point, I'm not suggesting a clawback. I think there have been few people who with legal expertise who've suggested that you could go backwards on this, but that there should be at least things that you could do to limit going forward what your liabilities are and how fast these things are growing. So had we done that in 2006, for instance, many of the payouts last month that amounted to $14 million, many of those would have been substantially less because they would have had 5 years less accumulation on each of those accounts.
And I do want to be clear for people who have seen the media coverage on this that the $14 million is coming out of the pension fund. It's not directly out of the county's budget. However, right, if you can try to make some additional reforms here, you might be able to lower the amount that you have to contribute to the pension fund, if I have that right.
Right. Each time you spend money out of that pension fund, that requires more cash on an annual basis to go in to keep the fund fully funded. If you go back just 10 years ago, the county annually was only putting in $500,000 to $1 million a year into the pension fund. That's all was required. This year, we're putting in $60 million. That's all money that comes out of the property tax levy. That's $59 million more than we were putting in 10 years ago, and we could use that $59 million in our buses and our transit. So it really is a debacle, and I'm glad Supervisor Lipscomb is taking initiative on this thing, because we need to take a look, and anything we can legally do to stop the bleeding on this problem, we need to do, and we need to do fast. And we've spent $200 million to date on these backdrops, and we could spend that much more yet before the last person who's eligible to receive one gets one. And I think we should point out it's important to remember that we can't villainize the employees who are actually getting the backdrops, because they didn't do anything to create this from happening. I mean, they're just taking advantage of something that's available to them and you know, legally available to them. This is a problem that is the cause of other people, and so you know, it's hard, like I say, not to villainize when you see somebody walking out the door with $1 million check. But you know, you can't blame that person for it. He didn't make the law.
Well, is there support on the board for these pension reforms as well as the sick leave reforms?
I think there is general support. On the pension reforms, at least relative to the study, to the outside legal analysis that passed 18 to 1 yesterday, as we're taping this Friday, but right. yesterday's board meeting, the sick leave accrual was sent back to committee. So there's some questions about it. I don't know that that's opposition to it so much as it is people wanting to make sure that they have all their questions answered about how this would work and what are the other impacts. So I do hope that there's broad support for that as well.
Certainly, you both have your hands full on this as we go into the 2012 budget, and any changes are going to be welcome as you deal with your reduced funding coming in from the state, and we're going to be talking about that with Supervisor Schmidt in the next segment. But if you can avoid some service cuts by making some of these reforms, I would think that that would be one partial solution in dealing with the upcoming budget.
Exactly. And that kind of brings this whole segment together. It's not only reforms that need to be done to our employment rules and regulations, but also the cost of our benefits. It really is a one big puzzle piece that goes hand in hand that affects all the other services that we can provide to the county residents.
Couple minutes left here. I just want to end with where we stand with the union contracts. I know that the county board recently approved a nurse's contract that does have higher health insurance copays and premiums, as well as a pension contribution. And with AFSCME, the county's largest union, you're going to have some changes that can be implemented in light of the new collective bargaining law that'll be in effect. So, where do we stand with that as far as the savings? We're going to see how much savings from that, can we say?
Well, on the nurses' contract, it's $1.7 million in savings for 2012. And they were a case where we actually had an agreement with them through 2011. And so they had already taken some of the concessions. In this package, they effectively take the health care and pension concessions that would otherwise be in Act 10. So they will actually be paying more of their health care than the state mandates on their own employees. They'll be paying the pension contribution. They've wage freezes, a series of other concessions, and so that I do believe was a good deal, and a majority of the board agreed. I think AFSCME is an open question and hard to determine where that'll end up before the law takes effect here in a few days.
Anything either of you want to add on employee benefits as we wrap this up?
Well, I think that as you watch, as the economy got tough, you watch what's happened in the business cycle, and just take pension, for example. The norm used to be years ago that everybody ran a defined benefit pension program, and that has switched in most cases in the private sector to defined contribution. And that shares the responsibility equally in some cases between the employer and the employee. I think, as Supervisor Lipscomb mentioned, our benefits are rather outdated, and I think the county seriously has to take a look at reforming our pension program from a defined benefit to a defined contribution, and modernizing the program, and these are the types of changes that we'll be able to do easier once Act 10 becomes law than we could previously. And it's going to warrant a serious look at that.
Well, you're both on the Personnel Committee, so we'll look forward to seeing what you're able to come up with. Thanks for being on the program tonight.
Thanks for the invitation.
Supervisors Joe Sanfilippo and Theo Lipscomb. We'll be back to talk about the state budget when Inside the County Board returns on News Talk 1130 WISN.